Ross, do you remember any time you've angered a crow?
I've seen him looking at me askew and been a little concerned.
Yeah.
Walked a little faster past
No,
the crow.
Yeah. You make a crow mad, it'll remember for years to come, and it sometimes tells its family members about you, so you should be careful of that. This time of year, you have to be extra careful because adult crows are feeling protective around their homes. Their babies have hatched, and they're just learning to fly. Dr. John Marsliff is an expert on the crow nation. He's a professor of wildlife habitat relationship, avian social ecology at the University of Washington. He studies crows. He often goes out in the UW to check out the crows on the campus, and he wears a mask. They remember him. He says if you see a crow, first and foremost, be respectful.
Because they do remember things, and they will hold a grudge for some time, going on 8 years on campus now since we caught birds, and they still remember that transgression.
Remind us how they remember that.
So they remember it. Basically, they remember us capturing these birds
with a
mask on, and they respond to that mask. I mean, I put that mask on and step out, and they haven't seen it for 6 months, and I've got the whole group of birds right on me as soon as I step out of my office. So
I just think it's so funny that you, who study crows, are their nemesis.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what you get for paying too close of attention to them. And kind of that's what happens, you know, when people are walking around and they encounter a nest or a young bird, they pay attention to it, and so that attracts the crow's attention as well.
So what does it mean for us living and walking around crows?
Well, to be careful and just to recall that, you know, these birds are part of the natural landscape. They're putting their young out at this time of year, and the young are vulnerable, and the parents are really dedicated parents, and they're very aggressive around those vulnerable young. So it's not surprising if you walk by and a crow swoops low over you, maybe even hits you on the head. As you go by this sort of thing. And it's their way of trying to protect and get those kids to survive in our really challenging environment.
I guess this is true for any bird, but what should a person do if they see a baby crow?
Best thing to do is to just leave it alone if it's in a relatively safe place. If it's out in the road or it's out by a yard maybe that has cats in it, you could move it out of that dangerous situation, but not too far. The parents are really right there. They will take care of that young bird. If you touch it, it's not going to hurt it. It's not going to turn the parents off by your scent or anything like that. So
that's been the standard myth, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the standard. So just move it into a safe place, maybe put it up on a roof of a building if it's easy access for you. Or if the young are very small and don't have feathers, you could put them in a hanging basket and hang that up in the tree below where they were, and the parents will often feed them right there. So it's kind of a neat thing to see.
Dr. John Marsliff is a researcher at the University of Washington. He studies animal behavior, birds, crow behavior. What are some of the biggest mistakes people make relating to crows?
I think really the biggest mistake is, there's two of them. One, they get aggressive back at the crow, and they'll throw things or challenge it or try to chase it away. And all that does is make the bird remember you even more and keep up harassing you. There have been some residents in Seattle that have been harassed for months, if not years, after they've done something like that kind of innocently. And then when they walk to the bus station every day, they're accompanied by this mean crow, and their friends, the neighbors see them and wonder what, you know, heinous crime they might have committed. But the other thing is to pick the bird up and take it to a shelter. And a lot of people do that trying to do the right thing. And in some cases, it is the right thing. But in most cases, it's not, because it removes that bird from its social network. And when it's out of the social network, it has a hard time getting back in, and it doesn't have the care and learning of social skills that a young bird needs to survive.
The heinous crime. What are the heinous crimes we can do to anger crows?
Well, we kill them occasionally. I mean,
they know that.
They know that. They remember that. They come around and learn from that event and everything around that event, the place, the people, the dogs, whatever it might have been that caused the death. And they basically respond to that threat every time they see it again, like it is another predator. And so they're continually aggressive, trying to move that predator out of their territory.
And even throwing things at them or yelling at them prompts that same reaction or a similar reaction.
It can, yeah, it certainly can. And, you know, you would think it wouldn't be as long-lasting, but I think some birds maybe are more sensitive to it if ones that have never really been harassed by people and all of a sudden they get this reaction from them, they might recall that more strongly.
So your research lately is focused on studying crows' brain, and you do that not by cutting them open but by looking at their behavior. What have you found?
Yeah, I've been working with colleagues in the Department of Radiology at the U who are basically advancing new scanning technologies to be able to see into the brain of the bird or other animals as they do behavior, and then kind of recreate what happened in the brain while the bird was actually acting. So in our case, We look at how the brain had reacted when a crow looked out and saw that person that captured them, or in converse, saw the person that had been feeding and taking care of it for a few weeks. And the areas in the brain that are highlighted when or activated when that sort of a stimulus is seen are the same parts of the brain that would be activated in us
the
when we
parts.
Saw that sort of thing. Yeah,
the same parts as when we saw those.
The exact same things. If we see something that we've learned to be fearful, like the crow has learned a particular person to be dangerous, our right hemisphere amygdala would be activated, and the same thing is activated in the crow, probably in all vertebrates. Once we start to look at these sorts of things and kind of real situations, we start to see a lot more similarities, I think.
So other bird brains as well, probably.
Other bird brains would be great. We'd love to do pigeons next. That's on the agenda to see kind of how their brain responds. Because again, they're very successful at living with us. But we don't think of them as being very sophisticated, but in fact, they may be.
What do you do with this information going forward? You look at other birds, but what else?
Well, we want to compare other species, but really what we want to do, it's kind of part of Obama's brain initiative, is we want to basically see how various behaviors are kind of commanded by the action of the brain. Is it all rudimentary, kind of reflexive sorts of behavior, or how much is the forebrain really involved in these behaviors? How much thinking and reconsideration is involved in some of these behaviors that we see birds doing?
You know, I said the Crow Nation. And it does seem like a nation,
yeah.
And they live amidst us, and they do seem reflective. Are we finding that?
Yeah, we are. We see the forebrain involved an awful lot in some of their quite simple behaviors. And you would think that if it's just an emotional response or a simple learned association, it would be a much more earlier part of the brain that's being used basically for that. But it's not in this case. So whether that really represents thought and consideration or whether it's just attention, we don't know. That's what we need to figure out by looking at other behaviors. But they're certainly very attentive to us. And, you know, you could interpret that as also thinking about us, really.
Dr. John Marsliff is a professor of wildlife-habitat relationships, avian socioecology, and demography at the University of Washington. He studies Crow Nation. Watch out for when you cross their borders.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
With Ross Reynolds, I'm Steve Scherer. This is The Record.